305 UTC right after the international news.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Albert Courier, an Olympic champion, Paris Jepchirchir, completed a Kenyan sweep of the men's and women's titles in Sunday's 50th running of the New York City Marathon. We'll hear from both athletes in this post-race report from VOA's Tina Trin in New York.
If there was one word to describe the day, it would be comeback.
It feels great. It's so good to be around people now.
The New York City Marathon was officially back after the coronavirus pandemic forced its cancellation last year. And Ramada was one of the estimated million-plus fans who turned out to cheer more than 30,000 runners from all over the world as they hit the streets, covering 42 kilometers across the boroughs of Staten Island, Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, and Manhattan.
So we're really sad that there wasn't one last year, so we're just so happy that it's back, and we're here rooting for Kenya.
She wouldn't be disappointed, as Kenyans took first place in both the men's and women's races. 28-year-old Paris Jepchirchir crossed the finish line in 2 hours, 22 minutes, and 39 seconds, and became the first athlete to win both the Olympic gold and the New York City Marathon in the same year.
I'm feeling great. I'm so happy. I'm so happy.
On the men's side, 27-year-old Albert Courier finished with a time of 2:08:22, a gratifying comeback after placing second in the 2019 New York City Marathon.
I didn't imagine that I will win today. This was how my training going, and this is the results.
But perhaps the biggest comeback of the day belonged to the city itself and to marathon fans who witnessed the return of a New York City tradition known around the world.
It's great to be back. We look forward to coming out here every year. It's a lot of fun. Great crowd. New York City is a great crowd.
It's just good to see everybody. All right. And New York's back, isn't it?
Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
And thank you, Tina Trin, for that report.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Paul Tergat recorded that Sunny Side of Sports ID at our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington in 2005, just a few days after winning the New York City Marathon. In African men's football, it's been another disappointing World Cup qualifying campaign for Kenya, which has never played at the sport's premier event. And there's talk of big changes in Kenyan football. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye called Nairobi, where he reached an online editor at the Nation Media Group, David Kwalimwa.
Yeah, well, the state of football in Kenya right now is sort of on the edge and unpredictable following the national football team Harambee Stars' poor performance in recent matches of the 2022 FIFA World Cup qualifier. Remember, Kenya are out of the running to qualify for next year's FIFA World Cup in Qatar. So after losing twice to Mali and drawing twice to Uganda in Nairobi and Rwanda in Kigali. So fans have lost their mojo, and the government has reacted to the outcry of fans by ordering an audit on the Kenyan FA. Football Kenya Federation's books and records. So there is currently an inspection and audit going on of the Football Kenya Federation affairs, and it is looking likely that the findings of the inspection will be subject to interpretation, and the Cabinet Secretary for Sports, or rather the Minister for Sports, Amina Mohammed, will be releasing these findings shortly. But Football Kenya Federation have complained and said the government, or the Ministry of Sports rather, is victimizing the federation on the basis of the recent poor results. So there's a push and pull about it.
If the Harambre Stars get the 6 maximum points, will Kenyans feel satisfied with their performance?
But amidst that, coach Engin Ferrat, remember him, he signed a 2-month contract to be in charge of the team. The contract ends in November, at the end of this month. He's assembled his squad for these assignments against Uganda and Rwanda, and it's highly unlikely, whichever way the national team does perform, Kenyans will more likely be expecting to hear from the audit of the Federation's books than how the team performs.
Do you think the Kenya Football Federation will do a shake-up of the national team after the World Cup qualifiers?
There's a big, big shake-up expected within the national team and even the management of Football Kenya Federation in the near future. Basically try and interpret or predict what will come of the national team is a bit of a long shot right now because of the confusion that is surrounding the government move to just audit the affairs of the football body right now. You get this impression that these two games remaining World Cup qualification matches, after that there's going to be a lot of changes, possibly even in the management of the sport, as well as within the national team, probably the technical bench, and things will be done differently. I mean, this poor run in the qualification campaign where Kenya is yet to win a match in 4 outings has really left a bad taste in the mouth of Kenyans, and the government and the stakeholders have taken note. And there's a possibility that the whip could be cracked. That has not been confirmed as yet. But we will cross that bridge when we get to it. In the moment, Kenya are preparing to face Uganda in Kampala on Thursday. And then we'll return to Nairobi to play host to Rwanda in Nairobi as well. So the focus is on that. And of course, everybody associated with Team Kenya will be hoping for a win. But that win will not quite amount to much.
That's David Kwalimwa, an online editor at Nation Media Group in Nairobi, Kenya. And David spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Nairobi. As David mentioned, Kenya's Harambe Stars have World Cup qualifying matches this month against Uganda's Cranes and Rwanda's Amavubi. Uganda will host Kenya this Thursday, November 11th, and then Kenya will wrap up its World Cup qualifying campaign at home against Rwanda on November 15th.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Micho-Sredovic, national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. And we'll hear from Coach Micho on Tuesday's Sunny Side of Sports.
Join me on the next Straight Talk Africa. We'll take a look at coup d'etats on the continent. Are military power grabs making a comeback from Sudan and Chad, Guinea and Mali? We'll look at the causes and consequences of the latest series of takeovers and attempted coups in African countries. Join me, Heidi Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us now with the weekend European club football highlights. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. French footballer of Central African Republic descent Kurt Zouma scored the winning goal to help West Ham secure a memorable 3-2 victory over Liverpool in a match that was played at the London Stadium. Liverpool's consolation goals were scored by Belgian striker of Kenyan descent Divo Origi and English defender Trent Alexander-Arnold, who fired home a brilliant free kick. Oh, the Hammers and their victory through Alisson Becker's own goal, Pablo Fornals and Kurt Zouma's header to move above Liverpool in the Premier League table. Liverpool's coach Jurgen Klopp directed his anger at referee Craig Pawson right after his team surrendered their 25-match unbeaten streak in all competitions.
The goalie is protected in moments. So, and now if a player goes up in the air and arm That's, of course, not important. But for a goalie, it's obviously an important piece of the body. And if that is knocked away, how can he make a save? I know people will say, oh, God, he's looking for excuses. I'm not. It's just I'm completely calm. I accept. I don't think we are too good to lose football games. No, today we lost it. That's not nice, but I accept that, obviously. But when we speak about the situation in the game, then in moments you just need normal decision, not one side, not the other side, a normal decision from a ref. And he didn't do that, and that's the situation.
That's Liverpool's boss Jürgen Klopp sharing his thoughts following his team's disappointing defeat to West Ham at the London Stadium in the Premier League. Chelsea also dropped 2 points in the title race after earning a 1-1 draw against Burnley at Stamford Bridge. Czech Republic striker Matej Vidra's late equalizer cancelled Kai Havertz's opener as the Blues conceded their first goal from open play in the Premier League this season. Here's Chelsea boss Thomas Tuchel's thoughts on his team's performance.
It's a frustrating result, but it's the opposite of a performance. It's a very strong performance from the first to the very last minute. 2 minutes we lost control of the match, and they were lucky to get this goal. This can happen in football. It was on us to take one of our chances. We created so many chances. I liked how we played today, like the intensity, the quality, the commitment from the whole group. We had big chances to win this game by 2-3 goals. This can happen in football. We don't want it to happen, but it can happen. When it happens, it's very disappointing, of course, because we are all very competitive. But there's no other way than accepting it and pick the positive. There's a lot of positive to take.
Manchester United suffered yet another Premier League defeat after suffering another demoralising 2-0 loss at the hands of rival Manchester City at Old Trafford. Ivorian defender Eric Bailly put the ball through his own net to hand Manchester City the lead before Bernardo Silva sealed the victory right before halftime. The 27-year-old Ivorian later took to Twitter to send a heartfelt apology to Manchester United fans, saying, and I quote, "Nobody's more frustrated than me. I have to keep my head up. No excuse." End of quote. City boss Pep Guardiola held his side after the stunning derby victory.
Well, we spoke about, it's in a team, the transition team, and we thought we have to put the ball in the fridge. So a lot of passes, and in the last moment we arrived there, and after looked the situations. We said if they jump to try to find and after contact with the wingers, but they didn't jump in the first half, a little more in the second one, but not much. And our players in the middle, and except 10 minutes the second half, and we lose stupid balls. The rest was really good.
The Citizens' victory took them above Liverpool into second place in the table, while United are now in sixth place, 3 points behind Arsenal. And a Hartford 1-0 victory over Watford thanks to Emile Smith-Rowe's composed finish. English striker of Nigerian descent Bukayo Saka's goal was ruled offside, while Gabon talisman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang missed a penalty during the match. Ghana's coach Mikel Arteta praised his side after the win.
We are really happy for the results and the performance that we had for long periods in the match. We should have scored many more goals. We had 2 goals disallowed, a penalty that we missed, but today was about being consistent in everything that we wanted to do in the game against a team that has improved a lot in organization, and they are dangerous. But if you didn't score the second goal in this league, you're going to be impatient in the last few moments.
That's Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta's post-match press conference after his team secured 3 points in the Premier League clash against Watford. French South Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe and Brazilian superstar Neymar both registered their names in the score sheet to help PSG cruise to a 3-1 victory over Bordeaux in the French league. The Parisians, who were playing without Lionel Messi, who is still nursing a muscle injury, are now 10 points clear of second-place Lens, who lost 1-0 against Montpellier thanks to English footballer of Congolese descent Steve Mavididi's goal. Malian right-back Hamari Traore, Adrian Tufat and Gaetan Laborde all recorded their names in the score sheet, as René Hamad-Leon 4-1 at Rozon Park. Lille also earned the 1-1 draw against Angers, while Marseille were held to a goalless 0-0 draw against bottom-place Metz. Monaco also earned a 0-0 draw against Reims away from home. And in Spain, goals from French striker of Algerian descent Karim Benzema and German playmaker Toni Kroos secured all 3 points for Real Madrid as they cruised to a 2-1 win against Rayo Vallecano to move second in the La Liga table. League leaders Real Sociedad claimed a 2-0 victory against Osasuna, while Barcelona threw away a 3-0 halftime lead against Celta Vigo, which saw the match end at a 3-3 draw on Saturday. Spanish striker of Guinea-Bissauan descent Ansu Fati, Sergio Busquets and Dutch striker of Ghanaian descent Memphis Depay were all on target for Barcelona during the first half, but Celta responded in the second half through Iago Aspas and Nolito to deny Barca a much-needed victory. This comes after the Blaugrana announced on Friday that they had appointed their legendary playmaker Xavi Hernandez, who featured 767 times for the club between 1998 and 2015 as head coach, after sacking their manager Ronald Koeman last month. Fourth place Atletico Madrid also had to settle to a 3-3 draw against Taban Valencia. And in Germany, Robert Lewandowski slotted home his 60th goal of 2021 to help defending champions Bayern Munich rewrite history, as only the second team to score 100 Bundesliga goals in a calendar year, after earning a 2-1 victory against Freiburg. Leon Goretzka had scored before the 2021 Ballon d'Or contender doubled their lead. The Bavarians only need a goal to equal Cologne's record of 101 Bundesliga goals in 1977. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince. Douglas Mpuga joins us now with more African sports news. And Douglas says he'll be kicking off with African women's club football.
Let's start at the inaugural Women's Africa Champions League in Cairo, where Egypt's Wadi Degla made the perfect start on home soil after beating Mali's AS Made 3-1. Late on Friday, Ghana's H-Ladies also won 3-1, beating Equatorial Guinea's Malabo Kings 3-0. South Africa's Mamelodi Sundowns beat Kenya's Vihiga Queens 1-0 in Group B's Match Day 1. On Saturday, Morocco's Asfa beat Nigeria's Rivers Angels 3-0 to go top of Group B. The tournament features 8 teams from around the continent, split into 2 groups, with the top 2 in each group qualifying for the semi-finals. In cricket, at the T20 World Cup, South Africa failed to qualify for the semi-finals despite a 10-run win against England in Sharjah. Despite the loss, England qualified for the semi-finals. Although they inflicted the first defeat of the tournament on England, South Africa's failure to limit them to 131 or fewer meant Australia reached the last 4 at South Africa's expense. England secured their place in the knockout stages by reaching 87 and confirmed their status as group winners by reaching 106. Earlier, Namibia was also eliminated after New Zealand strengthened their chances of reaching the men's T20 World Cup semi-finals with a 52-run win. Meanwhile, India will play matches across all 3 formats on their tour of South Africa, starting with a 3-match test series that begins in Johannesburg on December 17th. There will also be a Boxing Day test in Pretoria and a New Year's match in Cape Town between January 3rd and 7th, with a limited number of vaccinated spectators expected to be allowed into the venues. According to Cricket South Africa, the teams will stay in the Western Cape for limited overs matches, with 3 one-day internationals between January 11th and 16th in Paarl and Cape Town, and 4 2020 clashes for January 19th, 26th at the same 2 venues. And in boxing, there are concerns about safety procedures in Zimbabwean boxing following the death of Taurai Zimunya after he was knocked out in a fight in Harare. The 24-year-old super bantamweight Zimunya collapsed during a professional non-title bout. It is the first time a boxer has died in Zimbabwe from injuries sustained in the ring. A statement from the Zimbabwe National Boxing and Wrestling Control Board says that plans for an inquiry are yet to be addressed. Zimunya took several blows to the head before being knocked out in the third round of a six-round fight. Zimunya's father, Samson, was an amateur boxer and reportedly had hoped his son was going to carry the family name and become a champion.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga. Mexican boxing star Saul Canelo Alvarez knocked out previously unbeaten American Caleb Plant in the 11th round over the weekend to unify the super middleweight division in Las Vegas, Nevada. With the victory, Canelo claimed Plant's IBF super middleweight belt and added that one to the WBA, WBC, and WBO belts he already held. Canelo becomes the first Mexican boxer to become an undisputed world champion in the four-belt era. Canelo now has 57 wins, one loss, and two draws with 39 knockouts. Plant lost his first prize fight after 21 consecutive victories. In mixed martial arts, the fighter nicknamed the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman, successfully defended his UFC welterweight title in New York City on Sunday. Usman defeated American Colby Covington by unanimous decision. The champion dropped Covington twice in the second round, first with a left hook and then with a big right hand. Usman also beat Covington 2 years ago by technical knockout in Las Vegas. The Nigerian Nightmare talks about their rivalry.
You know, this guy's tough as nails. It's very, very tough. Like, let's be honest, you know, Ali needed a Frazier. You know, all these guys, you know, you can be the great ones, but there's always going to be that one guy that's going to be able to push you. And he is that guy, you know, as much of him outside of the octagon as, you know, most people don't like, myself included. You know, you have to respect him as a competitor.
Kamaru Usman improved his UFC record to 20 wins and one loss. He's now successfully defended his welterweight title five times. For his part, Colby Covington has 16 victories and three defeats.
My name is Nesli Catherine. I am the first female boxer from Uganda at the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. In National Basketball Association action Sunday, my favorite NBA team, the Washington Wizards, defeated the defending champion Milwaukee Bucks here in Washington, as we hear now from the AP's Dave Ferry.
Kyle Kuzma had a double-double in Washington's 101-94 victory against Milwaukee. Kuzma finished with 15 points and 10 rebounds, while Montrezl Harrell also provided 15 points. The Wizards had dropped 8 straight to the Bucks before Bradley Beal dropped in 30 points.
It shows our growth and our maturity, because in years past, we wouldn't close out these close games. You know, we would fumble it, find out a way to trick it off. You know, we really locked in, buried in. One got stops, and then two, on offense, we took our time and make sure we executed.
Giannis Antetokounmpo had 29 points and 18 rebounds for the defending champion Bucks, who have lost 5 of 6 to drop to 4 and 6.
I got to keep staying aggressive, keep getting the paint, keep, you know, having those guys collapse, finding my teammates. And at the end of the day, you got to live with that. You know, as long as you make the right decision, as long as you, you know, delivering the ball to an open guy and he shoots the ball, you live with that.
Grayson Allen scored 19 points, and Bobby Portis had 13 with 13 rebounds as the Bucks dropped the first game of a 5-game road trip. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. The Bucks will visit U.S. President Joe Biden at the White House today, Monday, to celebrate their first NBA title in 50 years. Milwaukee beat the Phoenix Suns 4-2 in July in the NBA Finals to lift the trophy. Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer says he thinks his players are looking forward to the White House visit, and it will be a great memory. Turning to tennis, you might say Serbian star Novak Djokovic has earned another great memory. He clinched his 37th ATP Masters 1000 title on Sunday in Paris. VOA's Gwen Ooten has details on what has been a record-breaking week for Djokovic. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Sunday's victory also marked a record-extending 6th Paris Masters title for Novak Djokovic after he defeated number 2-ranked Daniil Medvedev of Russia in 3 sets. The match marked the 3rd time the two men have faced each other this year and their first meeting since Djokovic suffered a shocking defeat to Medvedev in this year's U.S. Open final. That loss denied Djokovic a record-breaking 21st Grand Slam men's singles title. And immediately after Sunday's match in Paris, Djokovic said it took a near-flawless performance to defeat his on-court rival.
What a match. I mean, it was incredible. Fight all the way to the last shot. I knew that He takes the best effort to win against Daniil, who is in tremendous form. You know, he beat me quite comfortably in finals of New York. So, you know, I learned my lesson and analyzed that match and try to do things better on the court today, and especially in the second and third. It was just almost flawless tennis from my side. So I'm very, very pleased with the way I played.
And with his 37th Masters 1000 title, he has not only surpassed the record set by Spaniard Rafael Nadal, Djokovic also set the record for the most year-end number one finishes, breaking his tie with childhood tennis idol American Pete Sampras. And Djokovic said with those achievements, he can now put past disappointments behind him.
There's much more positive things to be grateful for and to look at than negative. You know, I moved on from that and focused on the Masters events and here in Bercy. And I did what I came here to do, which is clinch the year number one and win the trophy. That's where my attention is at the moment, and very pleased to do that.
Daniil Medvedev was crowned Paris Masters champion in 2020, but he failed to defend his title on Sunday. And afterwards, the runner-up said a few points here and there ultimately turned the match in his opponent's favor.
He played good the whole match. I had small opportunities to come back, especially in the second set. I mean, I could have held serve a few times in the third to maybe be at 5-4 and him serving, and who knows what happens. So there are definitely things I could have done better. And he was better in crucial points today that made the big difference.
And Medvedev said he believes Djokovic will garner the respect he deserves for his achievements in the years to come.
I also have the feeling, though, that people start more and more, I don't even say respect him, respect what he has done in tennis more and more, because, well, he continues to beat the records. Only this year he beat the record for being number one for many weeks, 310 it was. Now it's much more. He got to 20 slams, almost done a calendar slam. And I feel like unless real haters, which are not real fans, people start to see what he's done and to see that he's able to do more, which we can never know. That's why we like tennis, but which he can do more.
Sunday marked the 10th meeting between the world number one and two. Djokovic leads in that matchup with six wins so far. And Djokovic has also extended his lead in the big titles race over tennis greats Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. That wraps up the November 8th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.